Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
My goodness, don't say it out loud. Wait, no, say it out loud. Tell everybody you know Cage Zombies Radio is live, and it is another wonderful Thursday evening. It's my girlfriend's least favorite day of the week, but it happens to be one of my favorite days of the week because I get to sit here and do this while she has to sit and listen to it, and it drives her crazy because she hates MMA, but that's okay. And this is Matthew, and with me, finally, after what seems like forever, Mr. Spencer Kirksey has rejoined me here. So, Spencer, how are you doing, and how has the time off been?
The time off's been good, Matthew. It's nice to be back. It feels like I'm a replacement, like I'm replacing somebody else. I almost forget how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at this point you're replacing Kari because she's been with me the last couple weeks. She's come through and always. I mean, she always does. So it's cool to have that backup, though. You know, you got things going on. We all do. And you know, couldn't make the show, but, you know, fortunately we had Kari there, and she jumped on, and we had a couple kick-ass shows. But I'm glad to have you back, man. I missed you like a fat kid misses cake.
That's good to hear, Matthew. I'm really happy to be back. We have a great show lined up, lots to talk about in the MMA world, as well as some awesome guests from down your way in Florida. From what I hear, some great events coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. We're going to be talking excuse me, about the Florida Championship Fighting Show, which is taking place this Saturday down in Brandon, a new night, new venue, and it's going to be a great night. Main event, Terry Janowski versus Tony Murphy. We talked with Tony last week, and we will talk with Terry tonight. What a fight, man. These guys are just jacked. You're talking two of the biggest, baddest 185ers in the state of Florida stepping in the cage for the main event Saturday night. A lot of other great people on that card. Dan Martinez making his return to the cage out of Gracie Tampa, a phenomenal young fighter. Erin Harp, another Gracie Tampa fighter, making her MMA debut, a highly accomplished jiu-jitsu. You have to excuse me, I just finished eating dinner. Jiu-jitsu practitioner. And then a lot of other great fights on that card. Ty Owen fights out of Tiger's World. He's fighting. We're actually going to talk more about that with Chris Big Boy, big surprise. We'll have Big Boy on after Terry, break down that fight card in its entirety, and tell you folks a little bit more about what all they have going on this Saturday there. And then second half of the show, we're going all Breakthrough MMA 13. We're going to start that off with Jason Arnett, the owner, operator, CEO, president, everything all in between, the man behind the greatness over at Breakthrough MMA. We're going to talk with him. And then from there, we'll be joined by Sam Sinek and Bryce Lawrence, who are actually facing each other this weekend for the, I believe, 135-pound title. And talk to them a little bit see how that goes. We've done some double interviews before with opponents, and they've gone smoothly, so we'll see how it goes. But another great show. We're talking a lot of Florida amateur MMA tonight, and that's okay because Florida amateur MMA is jacked, it's loaded, and there's a lot to talk about. So before we get going with any, and as Spencer said, so much more to talk about in MMA this week too. So two guys, you know, I'm just beyond excited. I was saying it on Twitter all week long that You know, the UFC needed to pick up a couple free agent fighters that kind of became free agents this past week, and did not take them long at all to do that. I don't know if I had any influence there. I'd like to tell myself that it was all because of me, but in all honesty, it's probably because these two guys are just complete badasses and they're amazing fighters. So, no surprise there. But yeah, before we get into all that, let's give some shout outs to our sponsors. Since it's your first week back in a while, you want to go ahead and take care of sponsors?
No, Matthew, you know you have sponsors unless I'm the one running the show. You always have sponsors unless it's me and Kari.
Right on. Okay, our phenomenal sponsors are AOL MMA, Valley Auto Auction, BrawlBase.com, Crossroader Clothing, All Out Fight Shop, Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, ProAmBelts.com, Jax Media Canada, and the oh-so-wonderful Intimidation Clothing over at IntimidationClothing.com and IntimidationMMA.com. So those are our phenomenal sponsors. Check them out. You can check them out on Facebook, Twitter. Check them out at their websites. Just Google the names. You'll find them. They're all great companies that are all doing great things for the sport and doing great things for us. So we do appreciate each and every one of them. Before we get in, we got a few minutes. We're going to get in with Terry Janowski. Let's jump right in to the UFC, man. Signing a couple big guys this week. Let's first go. You know, I want to say it was Monday or Tuesday. Then Anthony Burchak, you know, formerly MFC bantamweight title holder, and just all around awesome fighter, got announced that he had been signed by the UFC. Followed today by the official announcement that Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman was signed by the UFC as well. And then I do believe that former XFC standout Joby Sanchez was also signed by the UFC. So big week, man, I got to say. You know, and just probably, you know, just within the last couple months, UFC reaching out and signing Jim Ehlers after so long. It's cool seeing guys that we kind of have on a professional level. We've talked with these guys. We've had them on the show. You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting Jim a couple times, interviewing him in person for the YouTube channel and stuff. It's cool to see guys, you know, like the guys that you've seen come up on the local scene get signed to the UFC. You know, we talk here about not being Zufa Zombie, and you know, that's the motto we live by. You know, and that's what we do, and by the fact that, you know, we know these guys, we've supported them for a while and big fans of them, and seeing them get to the UFC, I think, is an awesome thing. When you've seen them fighting on the local shows, the regional shows, working their way up, you know, if you just watch the UFC, you just see these guys appear out of nowhere and think that, oh, you know, here's this new guy, I don't know anything about him, blah, 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 I'm a Zufa Zombie, MMA is UFC for all I know, and then before you know it, you know, you're getting bored. But you're a cage zombie, you know, get out there and watch a lot of MMA, support your local stuff. You get to see a lot of these guys coming up on the local scene. You get to see them rising up through the, you know, the XFCs or the MFC or Extreme Combat, whatever it is. These local promotions work their way up to the regional, work their way up to the bigger ones, and then they're, boom, they're at the top of the sport before too long. And these Burchak and Hot Sauce are both real young guys, got a lot to offer the sport. So, I mean, I'm excited about the two of them signing, as well as Joby Sanchez.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that's exactly what we mean by support local MMA. That's why we have the great sponsor, Intimidation Clothing, that has that saying, that kind of adopted it into their T-shirt business and all of that. This is exactly what it means. You follow these guys from when they're young, they're starting off with Burchak in the MFC and Hot Sauce Holtzman in the XFC. We see them rise to become champions, and then after that, we see them sign to these bigger promotions. The top three promotions, which I consider 1FC, UFC, and Bellator. This is exactly what we mean. We already know all about these guys now, and that's what it's all about. And two, I just want to say, you have to come on our show, because everybody that comes on our show ends up getting to the big league some way. So that's just helping us out there.
Right on. And so it's cool, man. It's cool seeing that the UFC is paying attention. You know, this past weekend, a guy I know real well, Dervin Lopez, had a big fight that didn't go his way and ended up going the other way. And the rumor was that was the fight that would, you know, had he come out of there with a win, he would have got the call. Unfortunately, he didn't get the win. You know, he's got a little bit of work to do, but sure enough, this guy himself is going to be fighting in the UFC before too long. He's just that good. He's just way too good for a lot of these local regional talent fighters. You know, he's working his way up real fast. And, you know, I just want to give that condolences. You know, tough fight back. He'll be stronger. He'll be better. He'll be faster. And that's the way Dervin Lopez operates. So looking forward to seeing what's next for Dervin. We're going to go ahead. I think we'll have Spencer jump behind the scenes and give Terry a call. And then we'll get rolling with Terry Janowski. Terry Janowski fights out of Gracie Tampa South, Matt Arroyo's team out here in Tampa. And he's a very well-established, very distinguished fighter. Put together a phenomenal record. You know, I took my brother out, a little backstory on Terry. I took my brother out to a fight one time about last year. And, you know, we're sitting there, and this, you know, Terry walks out for his fight. He goes up in the cage. My brother's like, Terry Janowski. He's like, I know that name. He starts thinking. A few minutes later, he's like, I went to high school with that guy. He's like, he looks like a monster. And sure enough, Terry came out, put on a great fight that night, and just blew my brother away. So Terry's tough, taking on, you know, some of the best opponents here in Florida Amateur MMA, and just keeps going, man. And this fight this weekend with Tony Murphy is in no way a slouch fight. I mean, this is a huge, huge fight. There's going to be really big things. It's a 185-pound title, main event, and it's just, I mean, it's just insane how crazy this fight is going to be. I've been saying, man, this is going to be one of the biggest fights in recent history for Florida Amateur MMA. So going to be just an awesome night, fights as well as this main event. So I think we got him ready to go. Spencer is going ahead and bringing him over. Spencer, why don't you go ahead and introduce him?
All right, folks, we are live with Terry Janowski. How are you doing tonight, Terry?
Good. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Listen, man, it's great to finally get you on the show, turning me down so many times, and we finally got you here, man. excited for this fight this weekend. As I was just saying, man, you know, you and Tony Murphy are probably going to end up ripping the roof off of this building before the night's out Saturday. How has your camp been? How has training been going?
It's been an awesome camp. Been my best camp to date. I had absolutely no injuries this camp, which was a huge change. Usually I always have something nagging me throughout the whole camp, and I've been 100% healthy the whole camp, which made a big difference in my ability to be able to push.
Right. Now you're coming off some tough fights. I mean, it's kind of like there's no break for you. You know, they throw top opponent after top opponent at you. You keep pressing on and keep doing big things. You know, you're coming off of just not that long back, a big fight with Tucker Lee Chapman. It was a tough decision that didn't go your way that night, but it was just a beast of a fight. You keep fighting these top opponents, and whether it's a win or loss, majority of the time it's a win because you've come out a lot of times with great wins. But what is it about your training, about your team, or just about you personally that always has you at that top level to be facing these top opponents?
I don't like after my third fight, I had three fights in a row where I destroyed my opponent, and they gave which I was still new to MMA, you know, with three fights, and my fourth fight was a title fight. And I've had all title fights since then, whether it's been kickboxing or MMA. It's been straight title fights for me ever since. So I've just been trying to keep up with the fighting. I feel that's the biggest part of amateur is just the experience, just getting in there. And, you know, my first couple fights, I didn't even remember. Like, I did good, but my coach was like, oh, you did awesome. And I watched the video, I'd be like, man, I don't even remember doing that. Just because I was like, I wasn't in that mind. I was in the mindset just punch this guy until he's not moving anymore, not in the mindset of, you know, trying to be technical and trying to get to that top level to where you're thinking through the whole thing.
Right. Now focusing on Tony Murphy, have you done anything different knowing that Tony is a big-time wrestler? Tony's got a phenomenal, you know, I think a lot of people will tell you this, people that have fought him before will tell you Tony's got a phenomenal shoot, phenomenal takedown. Have you done anything different in your training, or have you kind of kept it the same? I know that the Gracie Tampa family is pretty much training for all things at all times. Have you adjusted anything, or have you just kept it the same regardless of who the opponent's going to be?
Yeah, he has a body lock from all hell. If we were having a body lock competition, a body lock slam competition, he'd have a serious ranking. I will give him that. He'll body lock and slam pretty much everybody he fights. The only thing I really did different for this fight is I kind of put away the weights. You know, I decided I wasn't going to do the heavy lifting anymore, and I was just going to – I wanted to get my endurance levels and my pace to a different level. That was really what I wanted to be able to get to. I wanted to be able to throw 100 punches in a minute the whole fight and not be tired, not be gassed. And I felt like that was going to be my best idea. Other than that, everything's been the same, you know, long weeks, doing a mixture of everything constantly and just training hard.
Right. Now talking about your team I mentioned there, the Gracie Tampa family, as anybody in Florida MMA knows, is a very big family. You guys have a few different schools. Now, you train specifically with Gracie Tampa South and Matt Arroyo's team. Talk a little bit about your team there, about, you know, what it's like being coached by such a distinguished person as Matt Arroyo, and what we can expect to see, not only from you, but from some of your teammates that are fighting this weekend.
The whole Gracie family is just a huge, not only Matt Arroyo, which is an awesome coach, awesome martial artist, and just a great guy as far as fight game, in the fight game, out of the fight game, just all around mentally strong. He prepares you for everything. That's what's crazy about Matt. Like, you know, you're reading books, you're working on the mental side of it, you're working on your skill set. Matt's all about everything. And then we have Dan Rawlings, which is our striking coach. He's basically the Rob Khan of Muay Thai. That guy is a whole nother level in Muay Thai training. He's ranked number 2 in the world for a long time, and he's been our striking coach for this whole camp. So that's made a huge difference. And then as far as, you know, we got Rob Khan over there. So the coaching staff at Gracie is just a whole other level. I moved down here from Pennsylvania just to train at Gracie Tampa South. I had a buddy that lived down here. I was training in Pennsylvania, and I came and trained down here for 2 weeks, and I was sold. I just never seen a set of coaching staff like them. Our whole team, we got Matt Frivola, which I'm sure you guys have seen fight. He has an 8-0 record. They call him the steamroller because he just murders people. Then we have Troy Gearhart, who's actually fighting the same night as me in Pennsylvania. He'll be taking a pro fight. He's also an absolute monster. I think he has 6 wins with 5 knockouts all in the first round. Like, dude's just an animal. You got Danny Matos, who's always pushing the pace. We have Billy Quarantello, if I could ever get his last name right, who's also
Billy Q.
Yeah, he's just a monster pace pusher. He has so many – I could be rattling off names for days between new guys, guys have been there forever. Especially because us with having 4 schools, we get to get together and we really get to work together, and there's so many guys. I'll be at sparring sessions sometimes. You know, there's 30 guys in the gym. I got a fresh guy every minute and a half in a camp. Like, that's crazy. You know, I only see the same guy maybe one time. And I got new guys constantly running in at me, giving me different looks while I'm tired. It's great. The school is phenomenal. It speaks for itself. You know, we have 300 members. Everybody knows Gracie Tampa.
Yeah, right on, man. Now, when it comes down to this fight, what are you expecting? As you mentioned, what are you expecting to see from Tony? And how do you feel like you're going to respond? You know, what are you expecting to see, I guess, all around from you and from Tony? How do you feel like the fight's going to go?
I feel like we're both we will take the fight anywhere. I feel like we both, you know, we'll both stand up and spang. We'll both wrestle, and we'll both go to the ground. So I think it's just going to turn out to be an exciting fight, and just it'll kind of go with the flow. I don't have, like, a certain game plan I plan on putting in on Tony. I feel that an evenly fighter everywhere. I have good wrestling, I have good striking, I have good ground game. So I'm just going to try. I have something I want to do, and I'm just going to keep on pushing that pace, and wherever the fight goes, I'll be comfortable there.
Right. Now looking down the line a little bit, do you see any kind of pro plans in your soon future, or is that something that you're not thinking about right now?
Oh, I'm always thinking about being pro. I always say something to my coaches about it. I let them decide when it happens, but, you know, you walk into my house, I look like a crazy person. I have posting notes everywhere talking about I am in the UFC in 2016 and my pro records and all kinds of stuff. That's constantly in my mind. You know, that's fighting is my career. I only work one day a week for one of my sponsors, and other than at Gracie training and doing work there. This is 100% what I want to do. I left my full-time job, which I made good money at, to pursue this career. So everything is, you know, everything's just growing daily.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think people don't really, realize that. People don't, I think, realize that what fighters are sacrificing to really make the dream happen. You know, there's a lot of guys who are managing. They're trying to work a job while trying to train full time, trying to fight, trying to make a career out of it. But then you got the other side of it, where there's guys like you out there, guys, ladies out there like you that are quitting your job so that you can focus full time on it and try and achieve that dream quicker. Tell us a little bit about what that's like being a young fighter, being an amateur fighter that at this point in your career, not making money off of it. So you're really putting everything you have in that basket to make that dream come true quick. Tell us a little bit about what that's like as a young fighter going through that.
It's definitely a mindset you have to have. Yeah, I listen to a lot of audiobooks that helps keep me in that mindset. Just motivational speaking just help keep me on that track. But, you know, there's no going out. There's no eating. Like, I can't go eat. If I need something to eat, I have to go home and prepare it. Like, I don't have the money to go out and just grab something quick from Chipotle. All my foods have to be prepared. I spend a lot of money in the grocery store, so I save money outside eating anywhere else. All the foods are constantly in here. You know, I ride my bike to work. If I'm going to go to practice for a long day, I bought a little apartment about two blocks away from the gym. That way it only costs me, you know, $20 of gas in a month. It's just making those sacrifices. You know, you can make anything happen. And that's really, Matt was a big inspiration for that. I was working full-time at GNC. You know, I was a sectional sales manager there, making good money, training, you know, I had decent hours. I wanted to quit and train full-time, but I was worried about money. And he was like, listen, if you want it, you'll make enough money. You need to live. You really don't need that much money to make it day-to-day as long as you're not going out and doing stuff. And that's what it turned into. And the last 2 years have been pure just training full force and just doing what I love to do.
Yeah. Now, tell a little bit, let's go back in time here a little bit. How did you get into fighting? You know, where did it start? Was there any specific event, specific fighter that really triggered that passion in you? Or was it you were just born and you're like, you know what, I want to beat people in the head?
Well, my dad was a fighter back when they had no gloves. He started off as a Muay Thai fighter. He was a really good Muay Thai fighter, and then they were putting everybody in the ring and just doing the bare knuckle fighting. And I went and watched a couple of his fights. You know, I was just like, he was only making, you know, maybe $200 at some bar. And he was getting all beat up, but I was just into it. I was into it. I loved the excitement, the adrenaline rush. I played football growing up and wrestled, and I was a good football player, but just football didn't give me that rush that fighting did. Same with wrestling. Like, there was nothing like someone punching you in the face and literally trying to inflict pain on you, and you have to try to win that fight. Every battle, you know, something can happen and you cannot be alive anymore. And just that whole adrenaline rush I've been addicted to. And that's just kind of carried into it, starting from, I think I watched my dad fight for the first time when I was 10. So since then I've been hooked to it.
Right. And I mean, obviously, you know, the ultimate goal is to probably fight in the UFC one day, as you said. You know, you've got that posted up on your wall. In the end of this, you know, when it comes down to the time where your career comes to a close, you know, you've reached that point down the road, years and years down the road. What would be the one thing that you'd say you want to take away from the sport that you would either have wanted to, you know, the main thing that you've wanted to achieve, or perhaps the main legacy that you've wanted to leave behind for future fighters?
Main thing I'd like to take from the sport is just, you know, showing that you need to be a humble fighter. I hope I would love to put on, be able to show people that you should always be a humble fighter, and fighting is not really about like the outside part of it, where, you know, a lot of people still think fighters are a bunch of assholes. I'd like to bring out that, you know, fighters are nice guys. This is a technical sport. You know, we were playing chess in there. We're not the two guys at the bar throwing haymakers at each other. We're the guys that are training for months and months at a time to try to not only beat this guy strength-wise, mentally beat him and out-technique him in the ring at a certain period of time. Fighting's something I do, I don't know, more for myself and I would love to be able to teach my kids and be able to give them this art. But fighting's something I love to do for myself. That's why, like, later on, a lot of guys open up a gym. I think I would invest my money in other things and still train and just be in the gym. You know, this is something I love to do. That's why I originally got out of personal training. I don't like personal training because you're turning work into something that you love to do as a passion. Like it tends to, they tend to start butting heads. If I'm in the gym all day teaching somebody how to throw a spin kick, and then I want to go into practice, I've already been there for 8 hours teaching. Now I have to stay there and do something I love. It could easily run into something, start turning into something you don't love anymore. So I try to keep it as purely something that I love to do and have outside world be outside world. If that makes any sense.
It does, man. It does very, very, very much so. Listen, Terry, man, it's been great talking with you tonight. Before we let you get out of here, though, we'd like to give a chance for all the fighters to give shout-outs to their sponsors, you know, friends, family, anybody that you want to, really. Give any shout-out you want, and then also let us know where people can find you on social media.
Yeah, my sponsors, I have awesome sponsors. No Judges Need It. Troy Regano, he's all over MMA, makes awesome clothing. Also, Southern Tire & Co., they're right on MacDill. They do the best work. They're always honest. I have B Tranquil, which is an awesome massage therapist. She will stretch you. She will do sports massages. She is absolutely amazing. Total Nutrition, which is probably the best supplement store in Tampa. They have all pro athletes that work there. They all handpick their product. There's no house brand. They're an awesome company. And Harry P. Fitness, which gives me all my pastas. They give me my protein bars. They give me my rice. They make all organic products. Everything's super clean. All their cereals, trail mixes. Also my fiance, Stephanie, who helps me out, helps me prepare food, cleans my clothes, and deals with me being grumpy a month before the fight. everybody come request to be my friend on Facebook. It's Terry Janoski. I also have a fan page. It's The Experiment. Go on there, find me. I'm always posting videos. I try to post motivational stuff too. I'm always got something out there, workout videos, something going on.
Now, that fan page, say that again. It's called The Experiment?
Yeah, it's Terry The Experiment Janoski.
Right on, man. All right, we'll find that, and we'll make sure. Okay, I got it. All right, awesome, man. All right, well, Terry, listen, man, I look forward to seeing you this Saturday, man. Looking forward to seeing a phenomenal fight between you and Tony. I really do believe that this is going to be the fight that makes everybody glad that they spent the money to be there. I think that you guys are going to throw down in a major way. I think that you guys are two of the top amateurs left in the state right now. Definitely coming in there, and both of you guys coming to every fight looking jacked. So I'm looking forward to seeing the two of you guys fight, man. Looking forward to getting to see what the great stuff that you have to offer, as well as the rest of your team, man. So thank you for joining us. You have yourself a good night, Terry, and I'll see you Saturday.
I appreciate it. I will see you Saturday. Have a good one.
You too, man. Terry Janoski, man, just an awesome guy. Got a lot of good stuff to say, and just a great fighter. Sounds like one of those guys that you could easily have wonderful conversation with. Very well spoken, got a lot of cool things to say. And he, when those cage doors lock, he is a beast. So it's going to be a phenomenal fight between these two guys come Saturday night. And looking forward to it, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited. So yeah, why don't you go ahead? Let's go. Spencer, you go ahead and intro this next little conversation here, and I want to hear what you have to say, and then I'll go ahead and give my two cents.
Well, all right, Matthew and I were talking about this before we started the show tonight. A messy situation. It gives MMA a little black eye as of recent. War Machine, formerly signed to Bellator, he was a decent fighter. I believe he was on the Ultimate Fighter a while back. He's had troubles in his past, and
right.
Even more so now. Even more so now. Apparently, allegedly beat his girlfriend, and I mean, she posted the pictures, and it's a hell of a beating, and no man should ever put his hands on any woman. It's just completely wrong. There's no excuse for that ever. And he did so. He's wanted, and they cannot find him. Obviously, Bellator released him. Any promotion in the world would release a fighter after a situation like this, but they can't find him. And at this moment in time, I still believe they haven't found him yet. I believe Dog the Bounty Hunter, which is, I guess, a bit ridiculous, but Dog the Bounty Hunter is after War Machine, and it's just a messy situation. I hope they find him.
Is that for real? That is for real. Holy crap.
Yeah, it is. I hope the police I hope the police find him and not Dog the Bounty Hunter, because it's just bad for MMA. This whole situation is just people that are casual viewers of the sport are just gonna assume that all fighters or most fighters are like this. They're just barbaric and the opposite of what Terry was just saying. How all fighters are hardworking. They put the time in. They're dedicated, and it's what martial arts is truly about. And fighters like War Machine just give the sport a bad name, bad reputation, and hopefully they find him sooner rather than.
Yo, listen, man. I hope Dog the Bounty Hunter finds him and whoops his ass. What's Dog's wife or whatever that's always with him? Stick her on War Machine and let her whoop his ass.
Well,
yo,
the only reason I say I don't want Dog the Bounty Hunter to find him is because then he's just going to be on the TV show and it's going to be publicized even more later on when it actually airs. So if somebody happens to miss all of this that's going on right now, they're going to be able to see it later, and it's just going to reach a wider audience.
Right, and I get that. Okay, my input on this is fairly plain and straightforward. War Machine is anything but a man. You don't hit a woman. You don't hit your woman under any circumstances. You know, there's a fine line, and it's like a 6 mile wide line. You know that, like, you just don't hit women. You don't beat them up. You know, it's just not right. It's just that thing you're taught as a kid. To me, it's never even entered my brain. The last time I hit a woman, I think, was when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I was playing around and wrestling or beating with, you know, messing around with my sister, you know, as a little freaking kid. If anybody with any decency as a human being should have that in their brain, in their psyche, you just don't beat the hell out of a woman. You don't do that. And not only did he beat her up and seriously beat her up, I mean, the worst part to me is the pictures of her thighs. Of her, the bruising on her thighs, which means he leg kicked the living hell out of her as a sick, demented bastard to go and do something like that, to leg kick, to use your MMA training to beat this woman so severely. You know, it's just not right. You know, Christy Mack is an attractive woman, and she was unidentifiable from the pictures I saw. You literally could not even tell who that was, and it seems that he's, you know, I guess she's missing a few teeth. She had multiple broken bones in her face. It's sickening, man. It's really sickening. I hope this guy never fights again. If anything, I hope this guy gets locked up and gets his ass whooped in prison. It's just wrong, man. It's just so wrong that I feel like I don't even have to sit here and say it's wrong. I feel like it's just one of those things that, like, it doesn't even need to be spoken, because it's just one of those things that every civil, you know, human being, so any sophisticated human being should know this is just wrong. You just don't do this. And for somebody that has such advanced MMA training and advanced martial arts training, which the root of martial arts is discipline and respect. I don't think there's a single martial art out there that doesn't teach discipline and respect. And for him to do this just goes against everything that mixed martial arts stands for. It goes for everything against martial arts. It's just terrible. He's a scum of a human being, and I really hope that he gets tenfold of what he deserves, because it's just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And he's just a scumbag of a – he's just a terrible person. And it's a messy situation, as you said. You know, there's no telling – what the truth is of the situation, but it just doesn't even matter. It didn't matter if she walked up in there and took a dump on his breakfast bowl or went in there and it doesn't matter. The situation doesn't matter. It was uncalled for. It should have never happened. And you know, I think it's one of those stories where you've got two people involved here who are kind of both kind of shady, fishy people, and you're going to probably not get a truth situation out of either one of them. I read her story, and there's parts of her story that seem a little odd, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. Who cares what her story is? Who cares what the truth is? All that matters is he savagely beat her, and that should go he should most definitely 100% absolutely be thoroughly punished for by law, by the justice system, by anybody who can get their hands on this scumbag. It's just terrible, absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
it could have never happened.
And in the past, in the past, we were trying to get him on the show. This was obviously way, way before any of this happened.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned earlier, I mean, he had problems in the past, but nothing this severe. He was jailed for a while. I remember he made his return after that in Bellator. I think he had maybe 5 or 6 fights, maybe a few less than that, in the promotion, and now it's obviously terminated. Obviously, I think this is very, very obvious. We do not want him on the show. I don't think anybody wants him on any show other than maybe like one of those court shows on TV. I don't want him to get any more attention than he already has received, because it's just bad. It just reflects bad on the sport, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, he's just a terrible person. So that's about as much as I have to say. So moving on, we should be getting joined by Mr. Christopher Big Boy, and I think he's on the line now. Let's go ahead and bring him in here. I see this 352 number. I think it's him. Is this Chris Big
Yo.
Boy? It is. Chris
yeah, this
Big
is
Boy.
This is Big Boy.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. I like the Christopher intro. It was kind of like my mom was mad at me, and then I was having to answer to her.
Right on, man. So listen, we just got off the phone with Terry Janowski. We talked with Tony Murphy last week. Let's get before we get into any of the other fight card, and it's an awesome fight card. Let's jump right into Janowski versus Murphy. What's your take? How do you think it's going down? And what should we expect to see from these two warriors?
You know, this fight is one of the fights that I call one of the greats, and especially with the local Tampa scene. You know, these two guys, we've watched fight over 2 years now. We've seen these guys train. We've seen them in different promotions
Oh, yeah.
Here in Tampa. And we're able to get them together on this SDF card, and it's awesome. I'm excited. And for me to tell you what I think is going to go down, it's tough. Because why? Because I've dealt with both teams. I've worked with both teams. I was a part of one of the other teams, and I know how hard they train over there. But then I also have lived almost the kind of same exact scenario that Tony Murphy was. You know, I was a high school athlete, same thing. I was troubled. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. But I think it's going to come down to I think it's just going to come down to maybe what camp Terry's coming from. Terry's coming from Gracie Tampa South, and you know, those guys got nothing but great things down there. They've been that team and that whole franchise, that school is just continuing to grow, and they got some of the best sparring partners that they could have. And I think that might make the difference in the third round of this fight. In the first two rounds, this is going to be any man's war. I think it's going to be between two of the strongest, most talented athletes here in the Tampa area and Florida. Tony's been going out to Vegas and fighting in the Tough Enough. He's been feeling the show. I think that's going to be a benefit for him. Terry's benefit is going to be, and I feel it, with just having the sparring partners he's had and the camp that he's been in. I think Terry is going to prevail. It's going to be a third-round fight, I believe. I believe it's going to be determined in the third round. And first and second round, I couldn't give you a winner, but I think in the third round, I think Terry the Terror is going to pull it off.
Yeah. Now, these guys, I mean, both of these guys have pretty much fought the best out there. As you mentioned, Tony's gone out to Vegas, fought a couple times. Here local, he's one of only two people to ever defeat David Mundell. He's taken on big time opponents. He's fought you know, other Gracie Tampa guys before, so he knows a little bit about the toughness of that school. He knows, I think he's got a good expectation of what to expect from Terry, who, let's face it, man, Terry Janowski looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin, except all natural. He's like an all natural version, a tougher version, a far more scary version of Stone Cold. But And it is, on the flip side of that, Terry's fought some of the big – Terry's fight against Tucker Lee Chapman was just straight up amazing, phenomenal. That was like pro-level amateur fight right there out at World Class Fight League. And so I think that the experience that these guys are bringing in together is just going to just downright, as I said to Terry, going to tear the roof off of the region.
It's going to be awesome. You know, Alfred was a – you know, Paul Barrow's the actual name matchmaker for the SCF now. I'm just a consultant, and the reason why I'm a consultant with everybody now is because my main priority is the RFC and Joe Valdez. So what we found out was that with me dealing and doing matchmaking for all these other amateur shows, is I wasn't able to put the time into the RFC that I want to do. And at the end of the day, that's my hunt, my baby, that's Joe's baby. The RFC is my pride and joy, where I like to work. So what I did is now I'm in the consulting. I just consult for MMA. Promotions. I don't really do any matchmaking. I do some helping, you know, they'll call me and say, "Big boy, what do you think about Terry Janowski and Johnny Murphy match?" You know, "Oh, let's make it happen," you know, and that's kind of what I'm doing now. Yeah, so now with the FCF, Paul Barrow is a matchmaker, but unfortunately he was tied up tonight and wasn't able to call. And Alfred was supposed to run back to the office and send me a copy of the card, so I don't have all the bouts in front of me. But I do have some that I have. We have a big fight that's going to be one I would like to talk about. And this one is going to be against Michael Bentley, and I think the kid's name is Chris Emery. And I think they were friends at one time or something, and they trained at the same school at Highlander. And now Bentley is training with me, so it's going to be Tiger's World and Highlander, and we know about that little relationship there. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And that's going to be exciting. So hopefully, you know, hopefully that's going to be a great fight. I think everybody should take a look. I think everybody's going to be more worried about what's outside the cage than they will what's inside the cage. But, hey, you know, we're all professionals, and this is what we do, so it'll be what it be. But that's going to be a great fight. Michael Bentley, he's been training hard. He was just in there tonight. We were just cutting the last couple pounds off of him tonight. Matter of fact, that's where I just came from, was going over some game planning with him. I've took this kid. This is probably one of the most technical camps that I've ever put anybody through. Just because when they came to me with this fight, I really didn't want it, being the fact of the grudge or the you know, the discomfort in the two people. And I didn't want it, and I really didn't. To this day, I don't want it. Right now, I don't want this fight, but Bentley wants it. And my fighter wants something, I give it to him. So this has been one of the most technical camps that I've ever put any fighter through. And I think that this kid's ready, and I think this is going to be another rage-in-the-cage fight. Because, you know, whatever happens inside that cage happens, but what happens outside that cage, hopefully, you know, everybody can just be professional. You know what I'm saying? So, it's going to be a long
right on,
night.
Man. Listen,
that's all I'm going to hit on that one.
Huh. Yeah, it's I you know, and I understand. I think that Spencer's probably like, okay, I'm missing something here. But I think anybody in the Tampa MMA scene knows that there's definitely maybe a little bit of just – not great feelings between the two people involved there, but
everything can be settled, Matt, you know, and it's nothing, I never hold a grudge, and I'm damn sure not going to turn it into a Jones and Cormier thing, but, you know, I'm a coach, and the only thing I'm worried about right now is my fighter, and my fighter winning, and us, and at least imposing his will, and then we'll get to the small shit after the fight, if anybody wants to bring it up, but for right now, the number one thing I'm worried about is getting Michael in there, keeping these two guys safe and getting them a good fight and putting a good show on for the crowd, and then we'll see what happens.
Right on, man. Listen, I love both of you guys, and I think both of you guys are great for this sport, so that's my two cents on it. But let's talk Dan Martinez. I'm excited for Dan Martinez's return. It's been, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's been close to 2 years since Dan has been in the cage. Been focusing a lot of time on teaching, on coaching out there at Gracie Pack. Let's talk a little bit about Dan's return to the cage and what we can expect to see from an absolute beast.
Well, Dan Martinez is this kid has got an impeccable MMA record. I've seen this kid fight. When it first became legal, I was doing shows down south in Fort Myers and all that stuff, and I was seeing this Jared that trained with him and Bamboo were coming down there, and I met Dan then. And then I seen him at a COPA, and I seen him compete at a COPA, and the kid had a great ground game. And I seen him fight a couple times, and man, he's impressive. He always has an explosive, I wouldn't say an explosive approach to the fight, but he never stops. And I think he's fighting this kid, Stephon Reese, Sluga, and I'll be honest, I'll give you my prediction on this one. I don't think that Sluga is in Dan Martinez's caliber. But I could be wrong because Slugger surprises me every time, too. But I think Dan Martinez is going to destroy this guy. It's the first time I've ever said that about a fight and been that confident in it. But I will say that Reese is he surprised me before. So we'll see. But I just don't think – I think Martinez is going to take this kid to the ground and ground and pound him to sleep or submit him to sleep, and then it's going to be a quick fight, and we're going to be on to the Tony Murphy and Terry Janowski fight.
Yeah. Another Gracie Tampa athlete, Erin Hart, making her MMA debut, man. What do you think about that?
Man, I have heard nothing but amazing things about this young lady from everybody. All right, I'm friends with, you know, the coaches over there. One of them is my fishing buddy. We go fishing together. And I have never had I've never had my friend have that much confidence in one of his fighters. And, man, I've heard great things about this girl. I've heard it, her jits is great, her wrestling's great, and they've been actually looking forward to her fighting. So I'm excited to see her. I believe she's fighting Amber Rodriguez, if I'm not mistaken. If that's right, that's
yeah,
true. Another,
that
that's
correct.
A tough girl as well. She's tough. She's from West Palm, and she's got great sparring partners down there as well. But that, I just the hometown, Aaron Harp, and what I've heard about her, I think this girl's probably going to surprise us all. But I'm excited for that fight because I love those fights. I love the female fights.
Yeah, man. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Casey Rivera, he's not on the card anymore.
I don't know. Casey Rivera is actually with, I believe, Highlander now. He's not with Tiger's World anymore. So I'm not sure. I don't coach Casey anymore, and I wasn't a matchmaker on it. But I think he was on the card, and his opponent got hurt. So they didn't rematch it. I think Casey has to defend a title for World Class Fight League or something. So I think he's concentrated on that. But I really don't know. I can't talk for Casey. And hopefully he's training well, and hopefully he'll be prepared to defend a title at World Class Fight League.
Right on. All right, man, let's transition real quick there before we get you out of here. I know you had some news, something possibly regarding the return of the USAL, so let's hear a little bit about what's going on with that at this point in time.
All right, USAL was an amateur show that was me and Joe's baby that we threw together a couple years ago, and we had a successful show. But then we got tied up with the gym, and we got tied up with the RFC, and we just haven't been able to put on another one. One, because we didn't want to step on any of our friends' feet because there's not much room to be opening shows here in Tampa anymore with all the people trying to reinvent the wheel. But we didn't want to step on World Class Fight League now. Now we have a couple more locations that we've looked into, Bradenton and Ocala. Tommy had a great WCW up there. He did great, but now he's running for commissioner, and he doesn't have the time for it. So what's happened is my mom runs a Harley-Davidson shop up there, and we're going to probably throw a show there in October, the USAL. But then after that, it will be Bradenton, and we'll start popping off some amateur shows with USAL, and it will just be a feeder league to the RFC and a good way for some of these amateur fighters to promote themselves. But that's nothing compared to everything else that's going on right now. But there's more time for that. This FCF card is going to be awesome. I hope that you're going to do the recap show with me again.
Sure thing, man, absolutely. I'll try not to steal the show as much this time as I did
Bro,
last time.
Bro, you sold the show. I have to admit, I'm pretty jealous, Matt, because I started this website all y'all know about, Fightrepreneur TV. All right, I didn't start the website. I did the show. I'm starting the website this week. I'm trying to get into the website this week, but I got to get some money to get it. But so I did this show, and I've got 4 episodes out now and about 30 little side episodes, but I got 4 big episodes, and I'll be damned if the one episode I did with you hasn't got the best rating. And I'll be
surprised.
Damned. I can see the stats and what people go and rewind and watch. And I'll be damned that more people are watching you than me. And you're
hey,
a radio
man.
Host. So more
hey,
people
man.
Are listening to me on your radio show. More people listen to me on your radio show. And more people listen to you on my TV show. How the hell does that work, Gaither?
I don't know, man. I guess listen, I'm not surprised. I think that my greatness speaks for itself, and no, I don't know, man. I think it's probably just luck. Watch this time around, this next one, probably nobody, they'll be like, oh, this guy again, we're not going to watch this. Nobody's paying attention
to this.
Well,
it's the format that we set up there. That's what people want to see. They want to see somebody giving them the information about what they missed, and that's what you were doing for them. You were giving them the news and information that they missed the night of the AFC. Real quick, what I wanted to tell you this is that the Fightrepreneur has gotten an offer from a TV channel already. We've only been going 4 weeks. We've already received an offer to buy the name, but I'm holding strong on it. I know I'm broke as a joke right now, but I'm going to hold to it to try to get a higher number, and that's what I want to talk to you about too, but I'll see you in person about that, brother, because there's a lot of stuff going on here in Florida with MMA, and there's some people watching us, so it's gonna get a step for us all. But, Matt, listen, thank you so much for putting me on again tonight. What else
can
I tell you? I feel like there was something else I want to tell you. Oh, Spencer. Is he here?
Yo.
Wake up. Where the hell have you been?
I've been traveling all over.
Yeah, except for down south.
No. Big boy,
no,
listen.
Down south.
Big boy, he was here last week, and he dipped out. He said, I'm not hanging around for those Florida MMA shows. I'm out of here. He was here last week. Where were you at?
Daytona.
Oh, so, and you did, jeez, you could have went and hung out with them Breakthrough Boys. Dang.
I know,
that's
I know.
Right,
hey,
no, Matt, it's Shark Week, and he was scared. He had to get the hell out of here.
I told him, I said, dude, Spencer, hang out down here, man. You cover Breakthrough this weekend. I got FCF, man. It'll be awesome, you know. But he's like, no, man, got to do what the woman tells me to do. And he was like, he was out. He was out. He wasn't hanging around.
That's a good man right there. Good man. So, hey, fellas, I just want to thank you guys, man. Listen, I want everybody, please check out Fightrepreneur TV. Your boy Matt Gaither is going to be able, we're going to do a recap show for the FCF this week. Fightrepreneur TV is more than just news, man. It's everything you want for your MMA. If you want to put a cage up, if you want insurance, if you want anything to do with the MMA show and you want to make your life easier, so all you promoters out there listening, if you think it's hard and it's a pain in your ass to do this, you know, let me know, because it's something I've been doing for a long time and my boss has been doing it for a long time. So we'll make your job a lot easier, and all you got to do is write me a check. but listen, guys, thank you so much. I love this. I love this this sport. You guys, this weekend is going to be fun, Matt. I'm excited for you to come out. I can't wait to do the recap show with you again. And thanks, man. I want to thank the sponsors of Fightrepreneur TV real quick. Macho Fighter, Boost 365, House Doggy, Burden Gonzalez. As always, that man is a beast. We're going to be doing a documentary on Anthony Gonzalez this week about how he helps the fighters and how much impact he has in the sport. And also Tigers World Tampa, and most of all, Cage Zombies Radio. Thanks, guys.
Hey, no problem. Speaking of Mr. Gonzalez, we're gonna step a little bit outside of what we normally do here in the coming weeks, and we'll actually have Anthony featured on the show on one of our coming episodes here, maybe over the next month or so. Got to get together with him and figure out what night works for him. But Anthony, as Big Boy mentioned, Anthony Gonzalez Jr. does a lot of phenomenal things for the MMA scene here in Tampa. Helps out a lot of fighters, helps out a lot of promotions, does a lot of awesome stuff, and therefore we want to be able to feature him on the show here in the coming weeks and talk with him a little bit about why he does the things he does and what he loves to see in the sport. So, but anyways,
listen,
Big Boy.
Yeah.
Good,
thank you, man.
Always good talking with you, man, and I'll see you Saturday, dude.
All right, man. See you, Spencer.
Hey, I'll see you later, Big Boy.
All right, brother.
All right, man. That's Christopher Big Boy Jensen. Always fun to talk with, man. Good to hear the USAL is going to be able to start putting on some stuff again and doing some good things. As he mentioned, they had done one event about a year or so ago. It was a good event, man. It was a real cool event, cool venue. And as he mentioned, you know, they just got caught up with a lot of the other stuff. You know, the RFC's been doing a lot of really big things lately. And good to see that they're going to be coming back and putting on some good shows. Let's get a quick word from our sponsors here, and then we'll talk a little bit about Jones and Cormier, what me and Spencer think about that big shebacle. Here you go.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Pro-Am championship belts, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am championship belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am. Championship belt.
Right on. Just a couple of our awesome sponsors. Now, with the next few minutes, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about this John Jones, Daniel Cormier thing. So, obviously, you know, it's the one of the biggest stories out there in MMA right now. Actually, there's a lot of big stories going on in MMA right now, and two of the biggest ones are kind of bad for the sport. Obviously, the War Machine thing is definitely bad. This Jones-Cormier thing, the way it's gone down pretty much since the beginning, it's just not been good. Both of these guys have been kind of acting a little bit less than professional. They obviously at the first meeting there, I forget what the occasion was, whatever the first face-off there, they end up pretty much tackling down the stage and everyone involved as they get into a full brutal physical alteration. From there, they're caught off camera, or still on camera, but in between, like while on a commercial break, saying things to each other. Just you know, Jones saying that if I would come over there right now, I would literally kill you, and Cormier saying I would spit in your face, and just stuff that you don't want to say. You know, I don't want to see that from professional athletes. That's childish right there. But and then it comes down, you know, this past week, obviously Jones getting injured. I don't know if it was an ankle or if it was just his vagina. I'm not really sure what got hurt, but that fight's going to be postponed. Was supposed to be taking place, I believe, at what, UFC 178? Was it 178 or 177?
That's 178. 177 is a Barral versus Dillashaw rematch.
Right, there you go. So, yeah, so 178 was supposed to be Jones-Cormier. Now it's looking like it's going to be pushed back, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 6 months, something like that. I forget the exact date when it's been pushed back to. But ultimately, my opinion on this is plain and simple. It's just crappy. You have all this going down. This was already going to be a big fight, something I was greatly looking forward to. And the more I saw from it, the less I was interested in it. You know, it was like, you know, when I'm seeing this classless acting from both sides of it, and I'm just like, you know what, I'm just ready to get the fight over with and us move on, because I just think when that stuff is seen on such a big scale, I think it's bad. It's a black eye on the sport. I think that people look down upon the sport and upon the fighters, and after you see guys behaving like that, I don't know. I want the fight to happen, because on paper it looks like an awesome fight. I really feel like Cormier is going to work Jones over and whoop him up pretty badly. But now we got to wait. And then on the other side of that, you got, you know, Gustafsson, who's probably sitting back pissed right now, because as it is, he feels like he's due a rematch, and he's got to sit and wait the outcome of Jones-Cormier, and now he's got to sit and wait even longer, because now that Jones-Cormier fight's not going to happen for a few more months, and now Gustafsson's got to sit back and go, well, what the hell? You know, I feel like I'm due a fight here, and I got to sit around and wait for, you know, you're talking another few months before Jones-Cormier, probably another few months after that. So what do? Do you give Gustafsson a fight in the meantime, or do you risk that? Or, you know what happens? Let's say he takes a fight and he loses. You know what? You never know. So it's just all of this that's just been it's just a pain. It's just a headache, I have to imagine, for the UFC. You know, I don't know. I just want it to be over with. Get the fight over with, and let's move on.
Let me just say this. I completely agree with you with the whole fighting situation at the, I believe it was just a press conference or whatever, the original media day. I agree with you that was bad. It looked bad. Of course, they had to show it on Sports Nation. They had to show it on ESPN Sports and all that stuff, because there's only three MMA athletes that ESPN cares about, and that's Rousey, Jones, and Anderson Silva. It seems like those are the only three MMA athletes that exist to them. But I am going to disagree with you on I was actually, despite that, I was still pumped up about this fight, even after all of the horrible things that were said off the set, and even after that fight, I was still pumped up about it. I'm looking forward to it. I think that Cormier versus Jones should still happen. I think Gustafsson had his chance. He got injured too, because that Jones versus Gustafsson rematch was supposed to happen, and Cormier stepped in for Gustafsson after the injury. So I don't know if Gustafsson should take an opponent before then or wait it out. I believe the fight's happening in November. But I don't know. I think I'm not a John Jones fan in any way, shape, or form. But I actually think, and you'll probably disagree with me on this, I think I'm going to be rooting for Jones against Cormier. One, because I want to see him fight Gustafsson a second time, and I want to see Gustafsson whoop his ass. But two, I don't know. I just can't stand Cormier. Even more so than I can't stand John Jones. So it's almost like a battle of who do I want to lose, not who do I want to win.
Yeah. Very well said. You know, obviously, yeah, I'd rather see Cormier win, but I can't. Your logic is fairly sound. I cannot disagree with your logic. It is definitely spot on. So,
I want to say one other thing regarding this. I love – this makes me love Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson even more. Obviously, he's going to step up at UFC 178. He's fighting Chris Curiosso, who I don't think deserves a title shot. That's besides the point. But Mighty Mouse is stepping up, and he had this to say about him taking that main event spot. It's about time that the people got a true main event, saying that about Jones and Cormier getting canceled, and I thought that was just hysterical. Mighty Mouse, I always loved watching, even though he doesn't finish most of his fights. Obviously, he finished Benavidez the last time. But, Mighty Mouse is just the quickest guy, and I thought that was definitely something funny and worth seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, right on, man. Let's go ahead and get Jason Arnett lined up and ready to go. You want to jump behind the scenes, do that. I got to say, again, I want to give a shout-out real quick to Marine Babyface Reardon, who's actually doing a boxing fight up in Canada this weekend. So look forward to hearing good result out of her. We got Invicta FC coming up here September 6th or 8th. I can't remember. I think it's September 6th. And so we're looking at two weeks out doing an all Invicta show, so look forward to that. Obviously, we're going to feature one of our favorite Invicta fighters, Delaney Owen, on that show. And after that, we'll be talking, hopefully, with some of the with the woman behind the greatness of Invicta, Shannon Knapp. But next week we're looking at lining up. Hopefully, we're looking up lining up Anthony Burchak and Scott Haushaus Holtzman to talk about their big news. But as for now, we do have. Breakthrough MMA owner Jason Arnett getting ready to go. We got him. Spencer's getting him queued up, and I think we got him. We got him there, Spencer?
Yep, what's up,
yep,
guys?
We're good to go.
How's it going, Jason?
Good, man. How you doing? I've been listening to the show. You guys are doing great tonight.
Appreciate that, man. Doing very good. Obviously, I would assume it right now, at this time, you're probably doing good, but also probably, like, you got a million things going on right now trying to get everything lined up for Saturday. So how are things on your end?
Man, everything's coming together great. I mean, this time we did a lot of stuff. Actually, I just walked in the door, like, 2 seconds ago from finishing setting up all our new light systems down at the arena. We got the cage built. All the light systems are set up. We got this big, elaborate light system that we got set up for the – we got this huge fighter walkout entrance that we – have at our new venue. So we're lighting that thing up. We got lasers and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff, trying to just add some production value to it. So everything's starting to kind of wrap up, and we're more ahead of schedule than we normally are at this point. So that's nice.
Right on, man. Awesome. So where do you want – I mean, you take the floor, man. Wherever you want to start, you got a big fight card lined up for this weekend. So you take it. Go start breaking down fights as you want. I know we got – Sam Sinek and Bryce Lawrence coming up after we get off the phone with you. So if you want to start there. Otherwise, go ahead and let's break this thing down. Let's see what do we got on deck for Saturday.
All right, what we got on deck for Saturday night, we have 18 fights still confirmed. We haven't lost any. Everything's still intact. We have 9 fights on the main card that are all ground and pound. We have 4 titles on the line this time. We'll start out with Bryce Lawrence and Sam Sinek fight. Bryce Lawrence and Sam Sinek are going to come on your show here in a little bit, and I think you're going to have them both on at the same time, so that should be pretty cool and interesting. But Bryce Lawrence is a world champion kickboxer. He was just up on, I forget the name of the promotion he just fought for, but you could talk to him about that when you get him on there. But he was just on a televised kickboxing fight card, and this kid is just insane. He's knocked out every single person he's fought. He's 4-0, and his future is extremely bright in MMA. Or kickboxing, whichever route he wants to go. And we got an accomplished wrestler who just came down here from Pennsylvania. He's 5-1, Sam Sinek. And, it's going to be the classic striker versus grappler type of match. No one's ever been able to take Bryce down as far as – I'm pretty sure that that's accurate. I know that no one's ever been able to take him down in our organization, and he's fought wrestlers before, so – the kid has great takedown defense, and he keeps people on their feet. And when he strikes, they land, and he hurts people. I mean, he crushes people with his striking.
Right. Now, the fighter who I'm most looking forward to hearing the result of is the John Brinson, Austin McCray fight. I just got to see Austin fight a couple weeks ago. This is a guy who I saw fight about a year or two ago at a Donnie Hare event, and that was either his first or second fight, and I remember thinking then, wow, what an exciting young kid. And flash forward to now, he's 5-0, getting ready to fight this weekend, I believe, for the 125-pound title, if I'm not mistaken, and he's just come off winning another 125-pound title. So talk a little bit about what it was like to get Austin on this fight card and how do you think that fight's going to go down against John Brinson?
I haven't had the pleasure to watch Austin fight in person. I've seen some of his videos. He's a tough, scrappy kid. I mean, he's wiry. He goes in there and he finishes people. I mean, he's 5-0. He's undefeated. I know more about Trippy, John Brinson. He's a good – the kid's really athletic. He's at the Jeet Kune Do school here, so they're, you know, practicing the Bruce Lee the whole Bruce Lee thing that he's got going on. He's got his striking's crazy, a lot of, you know, spinning back fists, crazy stuff like that. But, I mean, I expect this fight, they're both going to come out. It's going to be high-octane, high-paced. And I see it, them standing, you know, hopefully for a good portion of their fight.
Yeah. Now, you've got a lot of returning guys on the fight card. You know, you've got guys that have, you know, Dominique Cupcake Strouder, Dave Blair, Deion Times, Randy Newell. Talk about what it's like, you know, when these guys who – whether they've got, you know, the best records or whether they've got decent records or whatever their records are, they return to fight on breakthrough cards because they come out and they put on good shows. What's it like to get these guys back time after time?
Man, it's just a blessing to, you know, it feels good to have these guys that, you know, they choose to come back and, you know, they prioritize our cards. I mean, a lot of it may be the location, and a lot of it is, you know, we do put on a really big production, and it's, you know, it's a really fun atmosphere. We try to take care of these guys. I mean, a lot of these guys, like Dominic Cupcake Stouder, he's fought for me since 2011 or early 2012, and, you know, on a consistent basis. I mean, these guys become like family. I mean, they're like brothers to me. So as many times as they want to keep coming back fighting before they go pro, they're always welcome on the card. And we stack our cards full of people. So anyone who wants to come on and fight, especially guys with good records, we're always putting them on there. We're not afraid to, you know, extend the show and let it go all night long. Like right now we're sitting at 18 fights confirmed at this moment. So,
yeah. And you kind of deal with a lot of the same schools too, which is another cool thing. You see a lot of consistency with that, where you've got a lot of schools that when they come out, you know, they'll have anywhere from one to five to six fighters on your cards because of that, where you're usually, I mean, your average is probably like a 15 to 20 fight card for the majority of all the breakthrough shows. What's it like to be able to have that reputation, have that relationship with a lot of the local gyms throughout Daytona, throughout Orlando, throughout other parts of Florida, and have them be so willing to continue to come out to your events, put a lot of guys on your card, and to help their school as well as help your event?
It's great, man. Like, I mean, it's just like the guys coming back, the school's coming back. It's just an honor. I mean, it's like it just says that we're doing something right. And, I mean, I really feel honored to know that these guys, you know, support our show. And every time we call and say, hey, we have another show, they're like, all right, great. And, you know, in a couple of days, I have a big list of guys. And, you know, we've had as many as 9 guys on a card from a single gym before. So, I mean, the support's great, and, you know, we support them too. So anything we could do to help the gyms out, we're constantly, you know, helping advertise for them. And it's just almost like a partnership. So it's just really, you know, an honor to be in a position to where I could help a lot of these guys. Like recently we just had a whole slew of our champions all pro, and now we're just, you know, our last show was more of a proving ground. We're trying to see where everyone's set, and this one, it's all coming together. So all the best of the best who've, you know, fought and tried themselves and have proven themselves are all going to come together this Saturday night, and we got 4 titles on the line. 3 of them are new. One of them, we have our returning champion, Matt the Weekend Morand. He's undefeated, 4-0 from Fight Sports. He's fighting Timmy the Headhunter Stewart. We're bringing him down from Georgia. This kid's 8-0 as well. He knocks out a ton of people. That one's going to be our main event. We have a main card. We have Josh Goins. This kid has 16 fights. He's fighting state champ Solomon Maldonado from American Top Team. Maldonado's 6-2, and he's fought like the best of the best in the state. So then we have Freddie Baleen. This kid has 11 fights. He's fighting Josh Crouch, who has 18 fights. Dominic Stoder, he's got 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 fights. He's fighting a guy who has 7 fights. I mean, there's just a lot of veterans that are, you know, coming out to fight. So it's going to be a great night of fights. And then our undercard is, has a bunch of, you know, up-and-coming new guys. We have a couple debuts. We got a couple 2-0 guys. But we got a super heavyweight fight on the card. Anyone could go on breakthroughmma.com, click on fight card. We got a full fight card with everyone's picture and everything on there, and you could just get all the fights because, I mean, there's just a ton of great fights on there.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. Oh, the venue. Now, this is going to be your second fight out there at the Volusia County Fairgrounds. Talk a little bit about, what it was like the first time out there and what changes the fight fans will see this time coming out to the event.
The last time we went out there, it was kind of, you know, uncertain. It's always shaking whenever you're going into a new venue that you haven't been to before. The venue's great. It's 23,000 square foot. It's indoors. When you hear fairgrounds, a lot of people think, oh, it's outside. It's going to be 110 degrees and raining or whatever. It's indoors. It's air-conditioned. The setup's really cool. There's three walls have huge pull-out bleachers, so we have a lot of elevated seating. So there's a great, you know, where, no matter where you sit, there's great seats everywhere. We have 24 VIP tables. I think we have like 3 left that aren't sold. So if anyone's looking for a VIP table, you can go get one on breakthroughmma.com. And the coolest thing about this venue, besides it's in between Daytona and Orlando, so now it's a happy medium for the Orlando fans and the Orlando fighters to kind of meet halfway, is that they have this really big, elaborate stage system that we have, and we have a locker room snugged up to each side of the stage. So whenever the fighters come out, they literally walk right out of their locker room onto a main stage, and then the runway to go out to the cage is probably somewhere around 30, 40 feet long, and it's elevated. So they're walking up above fans, and it's just really cool. So whenever I seen, I didn't really know how big the stage was going to be until the last show. And after I seen the stage, I'm like, you know, we got to, you know, really vamp up the stage and really, you know, accentuate it. So I bought another big light package, and we got more fog machines and smoke machines and, you know, all these event lights and special, you know, effect lights. So when the guys come out, the stage is going to light up. There's going to be lasers and beams shooting through the crowd. And it's just a, you know, that's really the biggest change since the last show to this show is we're just going to be a little more organized with everything that we got going on. Not that we really weren't last time, but, and just, you know, take advantage of all our assets that we have there and really, you know, just make the best out of it. It's a really, really cool venue. We got spotlights up in the ceiling. We got 2 spotlight operators up there. So when the guys come out, you know, they're going to be lit up with a red spotlight or a blue spotlight all the way to the cage. So, I mean, it's just the production, it's really production-friendly for us. So we're able to do bigger and better things out there.
Right on, man. And where can people get tickets at?
BreakthroughMMA.com. We have tickets on sale. I think the tickets are going to stop selling online tomorrow. Other than that, you can get tickets at the door. There's going to be a will call booth, a ticket booth there at the front door. So anyone who, you know, last minute doesn't have tickets, you can come up and get them at the door. We have plenty of seats in there. There's 1,500 seats just in the general admission. And then we have another, you know, probably 700 seats on the floor combined with the VIP table. So everyone come out, check it out. Check us out on Facebook. The Facebook event page has all the latest stuff, all the tail of the tapes. We got a bunch of cool fighter promo videos with highlights from each fighter. I think we have like 5 of them, mainly the title fights. So you can go on there and kind of see highlights of all these guys, what they've done in the past, who they're fighting, all their highlights, and it all comes together in a real cool little videos that we have on there. So check out the Facebook page. Like the Facebook page while you're on there. Go check out the event page and confirm that you're attending.
Right on, man. Now, lastly, before we let you go, as we get ready to talk to Bryce and Sam here in the next few moments or so, what do you think we can expect to hear from these two gentlemen tonight on the show?
Man, they're both really good guys. They're really respectful. I'm not sure how it's going to go. I mean, I guess it just depends on how you orchestrate the guys. You might, I mean, they might beef on there. They might, you know, show a lot of respect for each other. But, you know, at the end of the day, these guys are, you know, really on the road to be professionals. And, you know, it's all for the show. So at the end of the night, you know, it's all going to be said and done. Tomorrow they're all going to weigh in. And Saturday night they're going to leave it all in the cage. I mean, it's going to be a really exciting. Bryce just destroys people. His striking is precise. It's accurate. And his punches have so much power behind him. It's insane. For his weight, I mean, he's throwing some serious heat. And Sam Sanuk, his last guy he just fought, he picked him up over his head, slammed the crap out of him on the ground, and beat him to a pulp. I mean, beat him until the ref pulled him off. So both these guys are devastating. They're devastating fighters. So I don't know, man. I'm gonna be listening online and listen to their interview for sure. I'm sure it's going to be good, and I'm going to be sitting cage, so I can't wait to watch those two guys get in the cage and do it. I mean, there's a lot of good talent on here, man. This is the best card of the year that we've had so far, so I'm really excited about a lot of these matchups.
Right on. And I lied. I do still got one more question, and that question is your matchmaker, Zach Moore. I'm not sure when he's sleeping lately because, you know, he's always messaging me with info about the show, info about the fights and stuff, and always seems to be working around the clock, and he's already, you know, he's telling me how happy he's excited because he's already putting together the Breakthrough 14 card. What's it like since he's come on? He's, you know, he's been on board with you guys for the last few events now. How has that been as he starts to really settle into that position and really kind of just take hold of it and become start working masterpieces? What's it like having him on board with you guys and being able to have that confidence in your matchmaker?
Well, Zach is – I'm still doing the matchmaking. Zach is – his title right now is assistant matchmaker. But
okay.
He is – I mean, he's phenomenal. The kid is great. I mean, he works his ass off. He's on it – I mean, I could text him at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he's real close. He's probably going to just go ahead and – he'll end up being the matchmaker here in the very near future. He didn't really have a lot of background in the sport. He was an ultra fan since Breakthrough MMA 1. I mean, he was always at all the shows. He follows all the guys. He really has a passion for it. He loves the company. He loves all these local fighters. And in between my last assistant, and he was there, and we brought him on, and he's worked out phenomenally. I mean, he's just incredible. I couldn't ask for a better person to be in that position. I've been teaching him along the way of, you know, all the ins and outs and kind of how all the matchmaking logistics come together. He's picking it all up great. This card, for instance, is the first time in history. I don't even think I've ever heard of any promotion ever, especially amateur, that has kept a fight card together for the last 2 weeks. I mean, we have 18 fights set for the past. These 18 fights have been set for over 2 weeks. We haven't had one person drop out. We haven't had one person off weight. Zach talks to these guys every day. If one person's not going to make weight, he talks to the other person. They're like, great, we'll come in 5 pounds heavy. I don't have to cut weight. Everything's just really smooth. I mean, it's just a blessing to have him on board. And in the very near future, he will be have the title Breakthrough MMA Matchmaker.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Jason, always great to talk with you, man. I appreciate you joining us as always. We look forward to getting the results for that show. I know Zach is going to be sending the results over to me as he has been for quite a while, and looking forward to hearing some great things from the show. Hope you guys have a great event this weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, man, thanks, and thanks for always having us on the show and helping advertise, and I love what you're doing out there, and keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate it, Jason, man. I'll see you down the road.
All right, have a good night, guys.
All right, you too, man. Jason Arnett, owner, operator, president, CEO, founder of Breakthrough MMA, awesome guy, always really excited, always very passionate about his brand, his product, and what the good things that they do over there. So, man, good stuff right there, good stuff. All right, so what do we got here? We got a few minutes before we go. We're going to bring Bryce and Sam in. Let's talk, great thinking there, Spencer. Let's go ahead and recap World Series of Fighting. Why don't you go ahead and lead off?
Well, I just want to say World Series of Fighting, I'm a huge fan of it. I always watch the NBC network, NBC as well. I think they already have their event that was on NBC. That was the Justin Gaethje, Nick Newell fight. But this event, it kind of fell through. And I know no promotion can have successful events all the way through. There's going to be fight cards that are kind of lackluster, and this was one of them. I think they were more focusing on fights in the future. But I have to say, this main event between Luis Palomino and Luis Gonzalez, oh, my goodness. Palomino, just a head kick for the ages. And then with the follow-up punches, Palomino definitely making the case for a lightweight title shot at Justin Gaethje. Of course, Gaethje is going to be fighting Melvin Young Assassin Gallard next. But I'm slowly but surely, World Series of Fighting is building up their lightweight division to be one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
it's
one of the most stacked divisions in all of MMA. but I just get more and more excited watching that division. Of course, we've had Justin Gaethje on the show several times, and I think despite it being that stacked, I think Gaethje is just going to dominate that division. He's just on another level. He's an animal. But as for the rest of this card, I don't know about you, Matthew, but it was kind of lackluster. All the other fights on the main card were decisions. There was only one other finish, and that was the featured prelim between Lucas Montoya and Jimmy Spicuzza. That fight was shown on MMA Junkie. But the only other takeaway I have is Alexis Villa, one of our former guests, fell to Brandon Hempelman. Hempelman, of course, that was a flyweight fight. Hempelman got the better of him, won 29-28, 30-27, 30-27. Once again, that was not exactly the most exciting fight ever. So Luis Palomino and Luis Gonzalez saved the fight card, but it was still a lackluster.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, speaking of that Alexis Villa, Brandon Hempelman fight, I do believe Pablo Alfonso actually called Brandon out following that fight, saying he wants him next. So maybe we'll see if that's something that comes together there. But, yeah, I would have to agree with you, first off, that I love World Series of Fighting. I've watched every event. Love, love, love what they're doing. Ray Sefo is an awesome dude. I've had the privilege of covering three of their 12 shows, and have met more people at that shows than I could have, those shows than I could have ever imagined. Have a great time while I'm there. They treat their media phenomenally, and they put on a great, great show, and that is a phenomenal product, what they're working with. But, yeah, World Series of Fighting 12 was slightly lackluster. There was actually two finishes on the prelims, though, to correct you. The first fight of the night, Bryson Gutches versus Soslan Abanikov, was a second-round rear-naked choke win for Bryson. But yeah, man, when it came down to that main event, Luis Palomino saved and stole the show. It's worth watching the event just to be able to get to the end and go and watch Luis Baboon Palomino deliver one vicious head kick knockout. He is a very fast-rising young star and is going to very soon be fighting for – I can't even say young. I mean, the guy's got 30, so he's not even – he's not a fresh cookie, but he's still at the prime of his career and has fought so many big-time opponents, a lot of big fights. And this is his second straight win. You know, he's 2-0 in World Series. He fought a bunch at CFA down in Miami before they seemed to have closed up shop, actually, now that I think about it. But anyways, that's a conversation for another night, I guess. It actually just dawned on me. Haven't seen a CFA show in quite a while, and they had just signed – they had just gotten to a big deal, I believe, with Access TV, so I'm kind of curious what happened there. But, yeah, man.
That's one thing about World Series of Fighting. They're actually heading up north in a few months for their next event, World Series of Fighting 13. I know they're working on fights with Yushin Okami and all of them, John Fitch, Usamar Paul Harris. They're all fighting pretty soon. But World Series of Fighting 13, is actually heading to Pennsylvania. I have to do some more research to see where exactly in Pennsylvania it's going to happen. But it's Pittsburgh. Well, I'm going to try to get to that fight. Marlon Moraes versus Dawson is the main event.
Wikipedia says Philadelphia.
Ah, well, then that's a no-go for me. Either way, Marlon Moraes versus Josh Hill, bantamweight title, that's the next World Series of Fighting event. I believe it's scheduled for September 13th. Is that correct, Matthew?
Yes. Yeah, September 13th.
It'll be interesting to see who else is put on that card. I don't see any other fights announced just yet, unless you see some. But World Series of Fighting, that's the expansion of the roster.
That's the only thing I see is that fight, and then they've got the Jake Shields Ryan Ford fight set up for World Series of Fighting 14, which looks to be taking place in Alberta, Canada. Jake Shields, man, greatest fighter of all time, right there. So that's cool.
Of course.
Yeah, right. man. For real, though, like, the World Series of Fighting has been doing such awesome stuff. And as you mentioned, you know, not every event is going to be killer. There are going to be events that are just kind of like, oh, okay, it was a good event, but it wasn't great. You know, World Series of Fighting 11, that was a phenomenal event. You know, being there in person was even better. But had I been at home watching that event, I'd have been beyond excited, man. That was a great event.
Great fights went down that night, and the main event was just like a fight of the ages there with Justin Gaethje and Nick Newell. But yeah, I mean, World Series Fighting 12, it was a decent event, but that Palomino head kick knockout was otherworldly awesome, dude. So they'll be back though, as you mentioned. You know, they're kind of they're starting to now plan event or two in advance, whereas before World Series of Fighting events have just kind of been happening. They've been planning it and announcing things closer to last minute, you know, just a few weeks, a month and a half out. Now they're starting to plan a little bit more ahead of time and be able to now that they've started to build a nice, steady, stable of fighters, they're able to kind of start to set up events months out, one, two, three events ahead of time and really, really get things cracking there. I think we've barely even seen I think they've barely even cracked their surface with how good World Series of Fighting is going to be. So we'll look forward to seeing big things from them coming down the road. I want to talk a little bit about the we touched early on in the show about, you know, Burchak and Hot Sauce signing with UFC, you know, Joby Sanchez signing with UFC. I want to talk just a little bit about your input, I should say, on guys like that being released from the promotions they were with. You know, we brought this up last week with me and Kari, talking just a little bit about, you know, like why does a promotion like the XFC release somebody like Scott Holtzman? You know, the guy who's kind of like, in my opinion, the pillar to their promotion, which is to not say anything against the XFC. The XFC has a phenomenal group of fighters. They've got a really great roster, and they've continuously added to that roster and built that roster up, and now they have the XFC International roster as well, and they've got a lot of great fighters. But Hot Sauce, to me, has been a guy that's a pillar to the promotion. He's been with them for a while, fought a lot of fights with them, had a lot of success with them, and kind of been that foundational guy that a promotion like that can build upon and really to grow on. And I just did not – I could not make sense of a guy like Hot Sauce being released. And the same with Burchak. The MFC is huge. Maximum Fighting Championship is a phenomenal promotion, and Anthony Burchak was by far one of their brightest shining stars. Well, and I just don't understand – I'll stop. You go ahead, because I want to know what you think on this subject anyways.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's more peculiar that Burchak was released than Hot Sauce. Hot Sauce, you and I have been talking about for a couple of weeks. We kind of saw that coming. The XFC has not put on an event in North America in a long time, and that is not a good thing. We here at K-Zombies Radio, we love the XFC, but we really need it back in the United States. I don't know what their future plans are. Obviously, Prisco is going to make an announcement pretty soon. But I thought it was more abnormal that Burchak was released from the MFC. Obviously, he's their bantamweight champion. He gave them two solid fights that drew in a ton of fans. And we also love the MFC. And when I saw that he was released, I couldn't figure out why. There's no reason. He like I said, he put on great fights. He was a great spokesperson for the MFC. He represented them well. After they cut him, I thought there was no doubt he was either going to get signed by one of the three big promotions, Bellator, World Series of Fighting, or the UFC. I didn't think he was going to go to ONE FC. That's kind of a bit of a stretch out in Asia. But I'm happy he's there. He's fighting Joe Soto at UFC 177. Unfortunately, it's on Fight Pass. But one fight on Fight Pass, that's crazy. But I think he's going to get that win. As for Hot Sauce, I'm happy for him as well. He was another dominant champion. We both really wanted to see him fight Nick Newell, because Nick Newell kind of ran from him. But he's where he belongs now. And that's the big show. Obviously, the XFC wasn't going to hold on to him because they weren't doing events. So he needed to be released, and I'm happy for him. Two-time guest of our show, maybe possibly three, I'm not sure. But I'm happy for both of them. Joby Sanchez, another one, got signed. A great addition to the flyweight division. But, yeah, I think it's more weird that Burchak was released than Hot Sauce.
Right on, man. I'd have to agree. I'd have to say
I mean, I'd have to agree because you're right. You know, with the XFC, I think it was kind of like a they're not sure of their immediate future, and they had a great relationship with Scott. You know, even the parting ways was still on good terms, and I've seen, you know, both John and TJ, the media guy, wish Scott well and give him, you know, good wishes after his signing with the UFC, you know, and I think that's awesome to see that. I think, you know, Scott did great things for the XFC, and the XFC did great things for Scott, and I'm glad to see that relationship kind of part on good terms where promotion and fighter can walk away from it going, you know what, we were excited, we were glad we had the relationship we had, but, it, you know, it's time, I guess, in the best interest of the fighter to let him move on with his career. And I think that's an absolutely stand-up move by the XFC to do something like that. And I think I am, as you said, a little bit more confused with the MFC releasing Burchak. But bottom line is both of these guys are in the UFC now. You know, it's a biggest promotion in the world, and I think that these are two guys that are more than well-deserving. So looking forward to seeing what both of them have to offer for the UFC. And with that said, I guess we'll go ahead. We're going to jump in. I believe we've got both Bryce Lawrence and Sam Sinek already waiting on the line here. So let's go ahead and let's bring them in one at a time, and we'll get rolling with these two great young studs.
All righty. First up, we have Bryce Lawrence on the line. How are you doing tonight, Bryce?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
It's going awesome, dude. So we'll talk with you here for a moment as we get ready to bring in Sam. Now, as Jason said, I would assume you were listening to Jason, and you know, he's got a lot of good things to say about you, as Zach Moore did too. You know, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. My background is completely Muay Thai. I love the strike. That's definitely what I'm best at and what I do. I've been training in Muay Thai and kickboxing for the past 8 years now, and I just jumped over into MMA really, really recently here. The past year has been my first year in MMA and really focused on martial arts as a whole and switching over to grappling and wrestling and jiu-jitsu, but all of my fights up until this past year have been in Muay Thai, and I've been switching back and forth. I just recently had a fight in Connecticut. It was only 2 weeks ago, and it went really well for me. And now I'm fighting Sam, so I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Right on. And I think with that, we're going to go ahead and bring Sam in as well. Let me give my co-host Eric. And now I think we are joined live by Sam Sinek. Sam, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
All right, now I want to ask you the same question. Sam, tell us a little bit about your background. What brought you to where you are today?
I started wrestling when I was a kid. I loved the sport. Went back and forth with off-season, on-season, a lot of Greco-Roman and freestyle out in North Dakota, all over the states. Came from Pennsylvania. Moved down here. In January, got hooked up with the Armory in Daytona, my gym, and it's been going really good ever since. I just had my last fight, my first fight in Florida in May. I won first round TKO, and moving on, I'm really excited for this fight.
Right on. All right, so now I want to present you guys with the same question, and Bryce, I'll let you go first, and then Sam, you can go. With you guys both coming off of wins at Breakthrough MMA 12, what do you expect to see from your opponent this weekend? Bryce, you can go ahead and go first. Bryce, when Bryce finishes up, Sam, you go ahead and jump in.
Definitely. We both coming off wins. We're both amped up, feeling good for these fights. And, I feel that Sam's a great wrestler. I respect his game on the ground and his takedown for sure, but I just don't feel that wrestling is going to be enough for this fight. I respect anybody who gets in the ring, in the cage, and he's definitely a martial artist, a great guy, but at the end of the day, a striker, a wrestler, it's not enough all on its own, but as a whole, you've got to be great. It's really obvious, but I mean, I think that Sam's going to go ahead and try and take me down, keep me on the ground. And ground and pound, it seems to be that's what he likes to do. That's what he enjoys doing. That's what he's best at. But I just don't see it go that way.
Right on. And, Sam, your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing. You know, we're both amped up for the fight, both coming off huge wins. Obviously, the wins put us in this position to face each other off. Obviously, some people are thinking that we're both, you know, the best at this weight class, and I agree with that. He's a very, very recognized striker. I'm definitely going to be watching his strikes. Training camp was a little bit different this time with his striking. But I'm a wrestler, man, so through and through.
Right on. Now you guys have both, obviously, like I said, both coming off fights. You've both, this will be returning fights to Breakthrough MMA for both of you gentlemen. What have you guys seen from the promotion that has got you liking fighting for them and wanting to fight for them multiple times? Sam, why don't you go ahead and go first this time?
Jason does an awesome job as a promoter. Anything he could do for us, he will. Backs us up, helps us, with Zach, helps us with weight. This fight, actually, we're going at 145, which I know it's easier for me. I'm sure it's easier for you too, Bryce. A little bit nice. We get a little bit of a weight gain for this one. Anything that I was really excited with the last Breakthrough at the arena. It was a really, really nice venue. There was a lot of nice turnout, huge turnout, actually. It was a really nice, with Jason with the stage, walking right into the cage. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you, man. Jason and Zach are the best. I've fought for a lot of different promotions, Muay Thai and MMA, and they're super, super helpful. They get back to us immediately anytime you need anything. They're on top of everything for us, and the event itself is so well put together. Outside of the event, like I said, I've fought for a lot of other promotions. They're always really unorganized. The show's starting late. And nobody really knows what's going on, but those are the things you guys don't see behind the scenes. And they've got everything put together really well, one fight after another that gets put out when you're supposed to. Everybody's on deck and ready. The staff is always great, and it's just a really well-put-together event, and I enjoy fighting.
Right. Now, Sam, you know, with Bryce being 4-0 in MMA and having such a strong Muay Thai background, and all four of his MMA fights coming by way of TKO, KO finishes, what do you think you're going to have to do this weekend when you guys get in that cage to be that first guy to put a loss in his column?
Obviously, my wrestling, my striking is a lot better than a lot of people think it is. So I think, you know, it's something he's going to have to overcome and figure out. I know we both have the cardio for this to go three rounds. So if it goes three rounds, I know we both could we can hold our own and see what the judges say. But we'll see where it goes.
Right on. And Bryce, what are your thoughts? You know, Sam coming in as a 5-1 fighter, obviously taking on a lot of tough opponents and being well versed in wrestling, having that strong wrestling background. What do you think that you're going to have to do in order to be able to put another loss in his column there?
Yeah, I definitely respect Sam's wrestling 100%. You'd have to be really dumb not to. He's a very good wrestler. He's a strong opponent. And like you just said, that his stand-up, maybe people haven't seen it, but I always respect everyone everywhere because MMA, you never know what's going to happen. Anybody could get knocked out at any moment, especially with those little gloves on. So I'm going to respect him everywhere we are, whether we're on our feet or we're on the ground. But at the end of the day, I think that his wrestling is what he's going to stick to, and especially once we start to stand up. And I think that him and his coaches have put a game plan together and are smarter than the average bear, and they would definitely want to take me down to the not stand up with me. So I'm just going to have to defend the shot, which I'm very good at. I have a lot of really high-class wrestlers in my gym, a three-time state champion wrestler, Richie Dennis. He's an amazing partner. My coaches, and all of my training partners have really gotten me ready for this fight. So I don't think there's a whole lot that he's going to throw at me that I can't put up with and I haven't trained to put up with. So I'm excited for it, and I respect him. He's obviously a really good opponent, and, it'll be a good fight.
And now I want to ask each of you guys a little bit about your schools. Obviously, I know a lot about the Armory. I've seen a lot of the guys out of the Armory fight. Tell me, Sam, a little bit about what it's been like training with the Armory, what you've learned since you've been there, and how you feel that they've helped you come along in your career thus far.
I'm huge, impressed with how that school is run. I come from Pennsylvania. My old school had maybe five fighters at it. There wasn't very, very much room to go to a bigger variety of fighters, and especially with going a bunch of different weight classes and stuff, it just wasn't the same. Down here, I get, 10, 15 different fighters all around my weight. It's a fresh guy every minute. We're bouncing back and forth with getting new people and keeping us really conditioned. So, I mean, these guys are very well known. I have Richie Crunkleton as my coach. He was in the RFC, the WEC. I believe he was in the UFC as well. Awesome coach. I have Mike Vasquez as my striking coach. Awesome jiu-jitsu guy as well. Just really good having a bunch of guys my size that are going to be fighting with me every day.
Yeah. And Bryce, if I'm not mistaken, you train out of NIMAG Fight Sports. So tell us a little bit about that school, what you guys have going on there, and what it's been like for you since you joined them.
Yeah, I'm fighting, like you said, out of NIMAG in Naples here, and I've been with them a little bit less than a year. I've enjoyed my time with them tremendously. I've got a lot of really good talent in the gym. The instructors, we've got Keith Rummel, he's our Muay Thai instructor, and I'm just continuing to learn my striking, evolving into MMA striking, because it's obviously totally different MMA to Muay Thai. So I've really made that transition with my striking, and then over to jiu-jitsu and wrestling. Like I said, I've been really, really working on my wrestling and my grappling like crazy lately. That's all I've been focused on. I've got a lot of really good training partners, Richie Benz, Mike Kings in UFC, amazing guys out there, and Marcel Goncalves, jiu-jitsu black belt, amazing, amazing coach, teacher, around our weight class, and I've got a lot of really, really high people in there. It's been a really good experience.
Right on, man. Well, listen, guys, before I let you guys both get out of here, I want first each of you kind of just give some few final words for your opponent, and then also let us know, if you have any sponsors. Feel free to give shout-outs to all your sponsors or give shout-outs to whoever you want, and then let us know where people can find you on social media. So, Bryce, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to thank everybody who supported me my entire career here, and I mean, I know I'm a pain when I'm cutting weight and close to these fights. I've got a lot of great family members, support, my gym, my girlfriend, Brooke Ivy, she's always putting up with me. My parents are absolutely amazing. They've all of my competitions, Muay Thai, MMA, since the very first one. And I just want to thank everybody around me, my church, Living Waters Community Church, and Benita. They're all amazing. I've got just an awesome support system, so... And definitely Jason and Zach over at Breakthrough and in my gym, because I've got so many great, great people around me that are really supporting me and pushing me to take this next level in my career. So.
Right on, man. And then can we find you anywhere on social media?
Yeah, definitely. Facebook, Bryce Lawrence, B-R-Y-C-E Lawrence, and on Instagram, it's Bryce Lawrence 92. Definitely on there all the time, and I love to talk to anybody who shouts me out.
Right on, man. Sam, same goes for you, man. Let us give some shout-outs where we can find you on social media, and just a few final words for Bryce before we let you go.
Thanks for having me on the radio. I want to thank all my coaching staff and all my partners that helped me get through this. And yeah, weight cut's a big thing. I'm starving over here. We got a while before weigh-in, so definitely hungry. I'd like to thank all my sponsors, Tire Kingdom, Bucked Up Apparel, Tactical Machining, Vision Fitness, our strength and conditioning. And again, good luck, Bryce. I'll see you tomorrow at weigh-ins, man.
Sounds good, buddy. You too.
Right on. Bryce, Sam, thank you both for joining us. You were both showing a lot of professionalism here tonight, and I appreciate that very much. You guys, best of luck to both of you. Looking forward to hearing about a great fight come down this Saturday at Breakthrough MMA 13. I wish you guys both the best, and we'll talk to you guys down the road sometime.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night, and thank you for having us on.
You got it. You guys take care and have a great fight this weekend.
Thanks.
Right, thank you.
Right on. That's Bryce Lawrence and Sam Sinuk, who, I got to say, man, showed some awesome here class with each other tonight, and I appreciate that. That makes for great radio. That, you know, obviously you like to hear – you like to have those Tony Murphy, Bobby Tucker interviews where so much is happening that you just can't even – you can't even freaking get a word in because the two guys are just going at each other's throats. But then again, on the flip side of that, I like to hear two guys pay a lot of respect and professionalism to each other, and that's what Bryce and Sam did. And I think it's going to be a great fight, man. I think you got two very different styles here. They're going to clash, and I think it's going to make for a pretty awesome fight here for that 145-pound title this Saturday at Breakthrough. And I want to correct myself earlier. I did say 135-pound, but it does look like it's according to the fight card, it's a 145, so I correct myself there. It was my mistake. But, yeah, it's going to be a great night of fights. Again, that is going down at the Volusia County Fairgrounds. Let me pull it up right here in front of me. Volusia County Fairgrounds, Saturday, I believe it's Deltona, Florida, or Lake Helen, Florida. Most likely, if you're looking to directions, it's going to tell you it's right outside of Deltona, Florida. That's going down 7 p.m. Is going to be when everything kicks off out there. Like as Jason said, you can get tickets ahead of time. That's the way to go. But if you can't do that, you can get tickets at the door. I think he said something like 1,500 seats in that venue. So obviously, it's going to be plenty of room. If it reaches a sellout, that's awesome. But if it doesn't, plenty of room. Come in, fill the place up, and it's gonna be a great night of fights out there. So that's Breakthrough MMA 13 Champions Emerge. Which has been a lot of hard work put together by Zach Moore and Jason Arnett. And, again, Volusia County Fairgrounds, Lake Helen, Florida, 7 p.m. Saturday night. And then also FCF at the Regent. Let me pull that up here, Sue, give you the info on that one. That was the one thing I think I forgot to ask. Forgot to ask Big Boys about tickets. But I think tickets available at FCFFighting.com. FCFighting.com. But, yeah, that's going to be 7:30 p.m. Saturday night at the Regent in Brandon, Florida. You can Google that, check that out. Two great events taking place this weekend here in Florida. We get that all the time, obviously. So we have a lot of great events taking place all the time, and we're just very fortunate to have the MMA scene that we do. And looking forward to being out. My original plans were to be at Breakthrough MMA 13. Didn't work out, unfortunately, which I feel like Jason's probably getting sick of me. I'm always trying to be at the events, and it just hasn't worked out for me in a while. It's going to be a great event, great show out there. If Zach Moore can get me a date ASAP, I will guarantee that I am at Breakthrough MMA 14 in I believe November is when they're looking to have that one. So, but yeah, and then FCF, I will be out at FCF this Saturday here in Tampa, or in Brandon technically, but it's Tampa. Honestly, I'm going to be honest here, Spencer, and I got to put you on the spot, my friend, but I think MMA Madhouse not being at Breakthrough this weekend is your fault. I really feel like you should have hung out down here in Florida just a couple extra days. I mean, we could have had a slumber party at my girlfriend's. We could be doing this show live from the same phone, man. How cool would that? No, I'm just kidding. That'd be weird. no, but it's going to be a great show out of Breakthrough MMA, and it's going to be a great show out at FCF, man. So let's see. Before Spencer's got something he wants to say. Before that, just thank you to all of our guests tonight, to Terry, Chris, Jason, Bryce, and Sam. You guys were all great show. It was a pleasure to have you guys all on the show. And Spencer, what do you got, my friend?
All right, I just want to go over the two bigger events happening this weekend, Cage Warrior 70, Joseph Duffy versus Damian LePilot. That's the main event on that one. Jake Bosley versus Philip Mulfeeder. That's going down in Dublin, Ireland. Cage Warrior is obviously taking over the European scene. They have for a long time. Make sure you tune in. That's going to be on MMAJunkie.com. Then UFC Fight Night 47. What a weird place to have an event. But Bangor, Maine. That's right. There's having an event in Maine. And Ryan Bader versus Oveen St. Preux is going to be that main event. Gray Maynard versus Ross Pearson. Tim Bosch versus Brad Tavares. I believe actually Tim Bosch is from that area up in Maine. So two big events happening this weekend. The UFC Fight Night card is actually pretty decent for a fight night. The past few have been pretty boring, but this one looks like it could be showing some promise. Even the prelims have Uzumar Formiga versus Zach Makovsky, a veteran of the RFA, and Sarah McMahon versus Lauren Murphy. So even the prelims will be pretty decent. Smiling Sam Alvey, a former guest of MMA Madhouse radio shows. So make sure you check out that one. That one's going to be on Fox Sports 1.
Right on, man. Hey, Jason's putting you on the spot, man. Jason said you better step up. He said get back down to Florida. He'll put you at that media table, give you VIP treatment, man. You got to make it happen.
Hey, it's not a matter of me not wanting to stay. I love Florida. I love being down there. The sun was nice. The ocean was nice. It's a matter of money. I'm not made of money, Matthew.
I'll get you a job. We'll get you a job somewhere down here. Big Boy's always got stuff he's working up, man. We'll get you working down here. I'll get you a job at Sam's, man. You come out, change tires with me. We'll both take weekend. I get crap for always having Saturdays or Fridays off. I'm like, I'm covering these fights all the time. We'll get you a job there, and we'll both be taking weekends off to go cover fights and take over Florida MMA. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me too.
Put you and your girlfriend up. We'll get you living somewhere quick down here. Bring her down too. I know you probably don't want to be without her. We'll make sure we got a spot for both of you guys down here. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Wherever I go, she has to go with me. That's the deal. But she loves
right
Florida,
on.
Too. I think you don't have to convince her. She loves the Florida sun.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what the hell's the matter with you, man. The Florida sun is, like, by far probably the worst thing on this freaking planet. But, hey, whatever, man. That's to each his own, man. If you like it, then that's cool, man. But, I'm going to say, for honest, man, I hate it. It's nice if you come and visit it for a few days, but you living down here, man, forget that.
I guess.
But anyways, all right. I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up here with another fun show. We'll be back next week, hopefully having Anthony Burchak and Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman on the show, as well as some other guests. Looking to possibly get Jeremy the Beast Davis on the show. He's got a fight coming up here, I believe, next weekend or the weekend after up in Maine. So I think it's called Battle at the Beach or something on the beach or something like that. But that's going to be the last AMI fight for Jeremy Davis, and I want to get him back on the show to talk. So, big things coming. Like I said, 2 weeks out, we're doing All Invicta. So just pay attention. Follow the Facebook page, KZombies Radio. Follow Spencer and I on Twitter. I am at J23Journalistic, and Spencer is – You give yours, Spencer, because I never remember it all.
Pablo_L_Diablo literally translates to Paul the Devil. Pablo_L_Diablo. Follow me.
Oh, dear God. That is way too difficult. Way too difficult.
I love it, though.
Too many underscores. Anyways, all right, man. Well, listen, obviously, great to have you back tonight, man. We'll be back next Thursday. This is KZombies Radio, and we are the best things in sliced bread.
zombie. I'm a zombie, who I wanna be. Not a wannabe, but a zombie, I know. Insanity, untamable, unchangeable. Zombie, uncontainable. Run for your life, run for your life. What? Bone appetite, I got a new appetite. Transform, reborn, love by sensitive rare form. Worldwide.
I will find you, and I will kill you.